Can you hear me? Is it coming through? Oh, perfect. We got our system sorted. We got some new subwoofers and everything, so God is good. So I have a quick question. Are you doubting any doubts, can't find a solution to a particular problem? Are you lacking in faith? So, I want to turn back to a sermon that Christine did in April last year, and she says, she titled it, Trust and Faith. So from my notes, Christine said, have a healthy fear of God. So she's thinking about these are the things you need, characteristics you need for trust and faith. Have a healthy fear of God. Be where Jesus is at work. Be spiritually aligned with him, and you will see him at work. She goes on to say, ask for what you need. Take the first step. Reach out to Jesus, and be specific in your request. Know God's power and authority. Like the centurion, she says, all that is required is for you to have faith that God can and that he will. Don't be cynical. Get rid of your cynical thoughts and cynical people in your life. Reach out for Jesus. Be prepared to stand out for Jesus in a crowd. And then she says, you need to have this question. She said, ask, Lord, is this you? So if there are issues with trust and faith, you ask, Lord, is this you? She continues, confirm all thoughts to ensure that they are from God. Then step out in faith. Ask, is this in line with things in Scripture? Ask for a sign or a fleece. Know him well enough to hear his voice. So this is what I took down from that message that Christine was talking about, trust and faith. So my question to you is, what is faith? Again, what is faith? And we're like Phillips here to read
Faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Yes, so faith is believing the unbelievable. So Phillips here read about a few people, but I just want to focus for this moment. I want to focus on Noah and Abraham. Tinka Haley, I think you have 6:9-13. Can you, Phillips here, can you pass the mic to Haley, please?
On? This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark on its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy them from under heaven, all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. There shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive."
Okay, so the first thing he says here that Noah was blameless and that God were not pleased with the ordinary villagers in his community. But he asked him to build an ark. What is an ark? At the time when he asked Noah to do that, the word ark probably never existed. The concept of something that big was just crazy. So it's like, imagine if God was to say to you, Tiana, build an oompa. What's an oompa? Then he would have to give you the instructions of how to do that task. So as I said before, faith is believing something that's unbelievable. If you can believe it, you don't need faith. That required no faith. You just sat down, turn on the light switch. It has to be something that is far beyond your compassion, your understanding. So, it probably never rained that much. It definitely never flooded before. So when he's explaining that there's going to be a flood, what's a flood? So I want you to bear that in mind, that it has to be something far beyond your understanding. What's my point? It is with faith that allowed Noah to build a gigantic boat on the top of a mountain with no logical solution or reason for doing so, other than faith and obedience. So as I said, faith is believing something that's not possible from human action. It's just, you just can't fathom it. If you can believe it, if you can perceive it, you don't need faith. Let's go to another character. If I can get Alex. Genesis 12, Alex.
Yeah, so Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham left, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe.
Okay, thank you. If you can pass it to Jane, please. And then we just continue the story, and then I'll add something at the end.
So they left Egypt and traveled north into Negev. Abram with his wife and Lot and all that they owned, for Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. Then they continued traveling by stages towards Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where they camped before. This was the place where Abram had built the altar, and there again he worshipped the Lord. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, was also very wealthy with sheep, cattle and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. There were too many animals for the available pasture. So an argument broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living on the land. Then Abram talked it over with Lot. This arguing between our herdsmen has got to stop, he said. After all, we are close relatives. I'll tell you what we'll do. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want that area over there, then I'll stay here. If you want to stay in this area, then I'll move on to another place. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose the land for himself, the Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So while Abram stayed in the land of Canaan, Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom among the cities of the plain. The people of this area were unusually wicked and sinned greatly against the Lord. After Lot was gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction. I am going to give all this land to you and your offspring as a permanent possession. And I am going to give you so many descendants that, like dust, they cannot be counted. Take a walk in every direction and explore the new possessions I am giving you. Then Abram moved his camp to the oak grove owned by Mamre, which is Hebron. Then he built an altar to the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. So the point I wanted to make is that this is Abram, a very old gentleman with an elderly wife, and God is promising him that his descendants will be scattered so far that it cannot be counted. You wouldn't perceive it. If you're in your 90s and your wife is of a similar age, that concept is just, it's not real. It would be something that you would say, no, that's crazy, that's nonsense. But the Bible says that he believed, and that's the bit that's magical. You have to believe it. You yourself have to believe the unbelievable. So if I can get Tony, thank you, Jane. If I could get Tony just to finish up with Genesis 15, 1 to 18.
The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it. And Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each of 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him and cut them into two, arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved, mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, smoking fire with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, To your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates.
Thank you. I just want to go back to the point I was making when I said, suppose God was to ask you to make a umpa. So in the situation with Noah, he was able to explain to him what that task entailed. So I could imagine Noah's neighbors laughing at him when he's building this gigantic thing for no reason. So it's quite possible when he asks you to build the umpa, that your neighbors might laugh at you as well, because you'll be doing something that's quite crazy, really. So, conclusion. Both Noah and Abram were in the habit of speaking with God. That's what it says. Prior to this thing that he was asked to do, the evidence shows that they're constantly in communion with him. So that's the first thing we need to be. We need to be constantly in communion with him. So when he asks us to build the umpa, we would be ready. We would know it's possible. And the second is that they were engaged in smaller things. It is likely that through that communication, there were other things before that large task that they would have done to be able to feel confident that they can do it. And that's where I end. Thank you.
many man does it take to screw a light bulb? How many times can I come and just divulge? Pass on my life where I stand in the right mode. I learn the light is a balance ride with cold. I stare to skies trying to find a man to say hi. On easy times I was asking why. Sun on the cliff trying to work for flight. Fight against lift, I am gravity wise. Alafia to the bedroom. Let's come together for a second. Lift each other for the blessings. Ride together for the message. Alafia to my sisters. We come together, living mixture. Connect the spirit for the drifters. The realest love emitters.
Baba mi mo jowo.